Joining us now are the directors and screenwriters of Let's Meet Halfway, Dana DeVaris and Max Schmidt. Welcome to Outbeat Collage.
Thank you so much.
So Dana, talk a bit about your educational and professional background.
So I just recently graduated last May from Occidental College, and I studied media arts and culture with a concentration in film production. And so I made a couple of short films, all with Max, and this is my very first feature film, which is super exciting. And now we just have a lot more projects in the works, and we have our own production company where we make narrative films, music videos, and commercials.
That's great. Max, what about you?
Yeah, I started at Occidental College. That's where I met Dana. And that's basically where we started this working relationship. I transferred to USC where I graduated last May as well. We've just been working kind of professionally for the last year and been working on these narrative films for a long time. So this is a film that's been in the works for over almost 2 years now. So it feels like, you know, it feels like it's been a while.
Dana, tell us about the plot of Let's Meet Halfway.
Yeah, so this film is about two people in a long-distance relationship, two women, and they meet in this rural town between them once a month. One lives in Portland. She's working. The other one lives in San Francisco caring for her sick father. And so the film takes place over the course of 6 months, six different trips to go see each other, and it all takes place within this small town. And it's kind of a story that starts at the end of their relationship, which is something I feel like we haven't seen very much. And so we thought we'd take on the challenge of having this relationship story that starts sort of at the end. And we see the process of them like slowly kind of falling out of love and also just growing apart, but still trying to hold on to something that was once super special to them.
So Max, talk about how you cast the leads in the film.
Yeah, so I think something that was really important to us when we were writing is that we identified pretty early on was we wanted to do generalist casting. So basically we wanted to find whoever was the best actor for the part. And really, we really want to focus on chemistry too, because I think to us, the most important thing was that the two leads felt like emotionally connected, especially as Dana was saying, starting at the end of a relationship, and not having that time to build up the romance, you really do need two lead actors that feel like they work together. So that was a big part, a big starting point for us was basically finding the two best actors. And pretty immediately, I think Soleil and Leslie were like, just jumped out to us as being perfect. I don't think there was a whole lot of discussion around that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we didn't originally set out, like we didn't know this was going to be a gay film, but we ended up casting these two women who were the best for the part. And we didn't set any like preference in terms of race, gender, sexuality, because this film is a relationship story and we felt like it can apply to anyone. So that was really important to us going in.
Okay, now that's fascinating. That's really interesting. So you wrote the screenplay with that in mind?
We wrote a genderless, so there was never any indication of gender, sexuality, or race in the script at all, which can be difficult at times too, because when you're writing, a lot of times you envision a character very specifically. So I think we purposely had to hold ourselves back at times from doing that. But I think it really worked out in the end, because I think now I can't imagine anyone other than the two actors we cast being the leads in the movie. So it was a really interesting process. I think it's something that I think more films should try. And I think for our film, like, we're really happy that that's what we decided to go with.
Now, did you tweak the script when you decided that it would be female leads?
Yeah, we definitely went back through and made changes. And I think also knowing that it was going to be a lesbian relationship, we wanted to like put a lot of care and attention and thought as to how we wanted to represent the relationship on screen. Because throughout the course of Hollywood, there hasn't been much care and thought to how gay relationships are portrayed. So that was something we definitely thought a lot about after we cast it and continued perfecting and finalizing our script.
Are you both sort of familiar with gay cinema? I mean, did you go back and look at some of the more popular lesbian-themed films after you decided to cast two women? or did you just sort of go with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always something we've always really cared deeply about, queer cinema. I think one of our main inspirations was Celine Sciamma. I mean, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, a lot of her works are just like, have these beautiful dynamic queer characters that I think was just something we really attached onto. And especially after we decided it was going to be the two female leads, we definitely went back and engaged with a lot of different works. I mean, I know like Barry Jenkins is one of my favorite filmmakers, like Moonlight is such a massive inspiration, kind of the reason I wanted to be a filmmaker in the first place. And obviously like we are, you know, love film history. So there's so many movies more than I could name that we went back to watch for sure.
Talk about co-directing. You both seem to get along very well. Was it sort of divide and conquer, or was sort of every day a true collaboration?
I would say it's a little bit of both. I think that it's really beneficial. I think for some people it probably doesn't work, but somehow we've made it work where I think we share a very similar vision, and sometimes we can pick up the slack. Like if I'm exhausted and I need to go, like I'll turn to Max and he'll have great ideas and vice versa. So I think we have a really natural working relationship, and that's why we decided to make this film together, because we started making short films and realized that we loved collaborating. I also think there should be more collaboration with like in directing and writing, because I think it's always better to have multiple perspectives, and I think it's a super positive thing.
Nice. So did you always know you were going to film in Northern California? Was that part of the script, or did that just happen because you live here?
Yeah, I think even at the very outset of writing the script, we were thinking about it as being in Northern California. I think also just growing up, this felt like a very personal story. Also dealing with like relationships and drawing from a lot of personal experience. So it felt right to just set it in California. I think specifically arriving at filming in the Bay Area was something that we were super excited about. And it was also like slightly logistical. Like the film is set in between San Francisco and Portland. So very much not the Bay, you know, much more north. But I think the Bay Area, like we were really excited because it's such an amazing place. Like we were able to make it look like this small town in the kind of the middle of nowhere, while still being like within an hour drive of San Francisco. So it's pretty great what we were able to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think people in the Bay Area are very generous when it comes to locations. We had a very, very limited budget. So people were very open to letting us use their locations for free, which was hugely beneficial to our production.
Did you scout locations? Did you have places in mind when you were writing the script?
Yeah, we did location scouts like a few weeks before shooting. And I think basically we just cast a pretty wide net, we drove all around the Bay looking for different locations. I think something that was really exciting is I think only a few days from shooting, and we were driving in Marin, and we passed this theater called the Belrose, and we loved it so much. We were so enthralled by it's this cute little, you know, like pink exterior, you know, old theater. And we literally wrote that into the script just having seen it, you know, a few days before shooting. I mean, our actors weren't exactly very happy with us having to memorize a whole new monologue only like days before we shot it. But I think that was like kind of the spirit of this film, was really engaging with the location. I think the location was such a big part of this movie. So yeah.
Mm, nice, nice. And you really captured the feel of the Northern California area. I know that theater well. So how long was the shoot?
I think in total it was 9 days.
Yeah. So it was really expedited. It was a really quick shoot. I think something that we did too, when we first started the movie, is thinking about how we can make this movie like the best it can be with our resources. And so what we decided to do was film at a lot of the same locations. And so it's set over the course of 6 months. So they come back to these same places, and there's a lot of the film is very cyclical. So they repeat the same things. And it's kind of, you know, a metaphor for the way in relationships, you know, we kind of get into habits and how that can kind of slowly deteriorate a relationship. And so I think as a result, we were able to film like a lot because we only had a few locations really. So it really worked out for us. Obviously 9 days is like really not very much. But yeah, I think it worked.
I've worked on film where it took 9 days to film one scene.
Right.
So,
yeah.
thus the Indian Indie Fest.
Right. Yeah.
Was there an extensive rehearsal period? Did you really work with the actors?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything going in, it was very spontaneous, and the pre-production was very short and fast. But we did, we had like quite a few meetings beforehand where we walked them through the script. We did chemistry reads too before we cast. But yeah, our rehearsal wasn't super extensive, which I also think was exciting, because I think sometimes when you over rehearse, that can be a negative thing. I like leaving room for spontaneity as well.
And I think also it was really interesting because we filmed this like during the height of COVID. So we only met with our actors for the very first time when we were like the day before shooting. So all our rehearsals were over Zoom, which in a way was really nice because you can, you know, spend a lot more time with people. But in a, like, I think was kind of an intense experience to just all kind of be jumping into this thing together, really right at the last moment. So, yeah, I think in a perfect world, obviously, I think we would have done it differently. But COVID kind of had its way.
Another COVID film.
Yeah, exactly.
Dana, talk about the editing process.
We edited this film entirely ourselves. So it was challenging and it took a long time. But luckily we had each other once again to bounce things off of. But yeah, I think it was a long process. Max sound edited the whole film, which is something neither of us have ever done before. So it was a lot of learning. But I think editing is also a great way to see like what you did well and what you would do differently next time. It's like, it's also our first feature. So it was definitely a learning process.
How excited were you to be accepted into the Indie Fest?
So excited.
It was literally so insane. We were actually, it was literally the day we finished the film. Like, we were just doing our final sound mix and we were like literally hours away from being done. And we got the email that we had gotten in. So it felt pretty surreal. But you know, yeah, we're so excited, and to be playing at the Roxy, a theater like we've both been to so many times to watch so many films, like it feels very surreal.
Feels perfect.
Thinking about it. Yeah,
I mean, Indie Fest, I think this is its 25th year.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many incredible film festivals in the Bay Area, let alone just San Francisco. And the Roxy really is one of the last standing, as well as the Castro, single screen theaters.
Yeah.
When I lived in San Francisco about 25 years ago, there were so many that I could enjoy. And it's so sad to see so many of them lost.
Totally.
The kind of new question I have for filmmakers is you're really young people, so you probably stream a lot of films on your computers rather than sitting into a theater, which again is becoming more and more limited. Do you keep that in mind, or are you, when you're filming or when you're writing the screenplay, do you see it as this story that's going to be splashed across the big screen, or does that not even a consideration?
I think because this film is so small and we weren't sure, honestly, if it would ever play on a big screen. And so we wanted to make sure that, I mean, we definitely kept in mind that most people are probably going to be watching this on their laptop screens or their phone screens. But I think it's amazing that there's festivals like SF Indie that support tiny independent films like this, because it is the best experience on the big screen. And so I'm really excited that people get to see it the way that it should be seen.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you'll be there. Will you do a Q&A after the film?
Yeah, there's going to be a Q&A. We'll be there.
The lead actors
will also be there. So I think, yeah, it's going to be really great.
Very exciting. What's the date of the screening?
It's February 3rd at 6:30 p.m.
Nice. At the Roxy. So have you submitted to other festivals, and do you have some screenings coming up?
Yeah, so we are just starting our festival circuit. So a lot of festivals are going to happen in the next few months, and hopefully we'll be playing in cities across the U.S. and maybe the world. We shall see. There's no concrete dates yet on other festivals, but definitely people can stay tuned, and we'll be releasing that information shortly.
So this is the world premiere.
This is the world premiere, yes. Yeah.
How exciting for you. Right out of college and into the fry pan. what's it like working with the Indie Fest people? How did you find that experience?
So far, it's been great. They've been super communicative, really helpful. So yeah, I'm excited. We haven't met anyone in person yet, so that'll be exciting when we go to the screening.
Nice. Does that make you nervous sitting there with a big audience?
Oh yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I considered just showing up for the Q&A and just missing the movie, but I think, you know, it's a once in a lifetime experience to be able to see at the Roxy too. So I think we will definitely be there suffering through
sweating.
Yeah, the worrying about every single person's reaction. So yeah.
Distract yourself with the good popcorn. So what's up next for the two of you?
We have a lot of projects in the works, so nothing I can really speak about yet. But as Max said before, stay tuned, because we definitely have a lot that we're working on, and hopefully we can give more information soon.
Nice, nice. So do you have a website or Facebook page? How can people keep in touch and find out what you're up to next?
Yeah, we have... our production company website is called After Moon, two words, Productions. If you search it on Google, it'll come up. It's aftermoonproductions.com. We both have Instagrams. I don't know.
Social media. Just, yeah, our personal name is just Dan Deveris and Max Schmitz. Yeah. That's probably the easiest way to find us is Instagram or.
Yeah, yeah. And then our film has its own page, just Let's Meet Halfway Film.
You can either, if you can't make it to the Roxy, you can also stream the film through Indie Fest.
Yes.
Great.
Definitely.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And I really appreciate this great film you made, this beautiful lesbian love story. I think it's really going to touch the hearts of audiences everywhere. And best of luck with future projects.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.